Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome back, everybody, to another live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It is Saturday night, October 13th. And it's great to be back with you as I broadcast live this evening from our flagship radio station, Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online, of course, to our global audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. As you know, we aired an all-star rebroadcast of TPC last week, which is something we very rarely do. It takes a very special circumstance for us to leave TPC dark on a show night. It happens literally maybe once a year, if one of our Saturday night, if Saturday night falls on Christmas or Christmas Eve or something like that, it takes something that profound for us to play a tape. But last week was Columbus Day weekend, and above and beyond that, it just so happened that my mother's side of the family was having a family reunion in Pontotoc County, Mississippi, and Pontotoc is a Chickasaw word for land of the hanging grapes. So I was in the land of the hanging grapes last Saturday night when I would otherwise be on the radio. My father's side of the family, the Edwards side, hails from Corinth, Mississippi, as I wrote on the blog yesterday. My mother's side, the McGregor side, the good Scots-Irish people that they are, they come from the small town of Thaxton, Mississippi, in the aforementioned named Pontotoc County. And you know, I am extremely proud of my family heritage. The McGregor side is the more normal side. They're the good side of the family. The Edwards are an incorrigible lot, and I'm afraid I take a little bit too much after them in some respects. But both sides of the family, from Corinth, from Pontotoc County, Mississippi, extraordinarily proud of it. And it took me back to my childhood when I revisited the tiny community center, this little tin building in which all of our reunions had been held. The place still looked as it did from my earliest childhood memories back in the 1980s. In fact, the 1950 senior class photo of my maternal grandmother still hangs on the wall at this small community center. And, you know, that's just Mississippi in a nutshell. I mean, things don't change much down there, which is one of the most enduring qualities that the state has. Just driving down into Mississippi and seeing all the state flags of Mississippi lining the highway with that beautiful Confederate emblem still emblazed upon it. I was blessed to have a very close and loving relationship with all four of my grandparents, each of whom have now gone on to receive their eternal reward. But I wouldn't have missed that reunion for the world, not even a live broadcast. So I just wanted to say at the opening of tonight's show, it took something special for me to leave TPC dark last week. But I love my family and I needed to be back in Mississippi for it. And that being said, I am glad to be back with you, my listening audience, my extended family tonight. And we have a great show for you. Keith Alexander, the great, and I are going to be making up for lost time last week. We're going to be cramming essentially two shows worth of content into one this evening. Keith is in the studio with me tonight. And I tell you, Keith, you know, talking about where I was last week, today I spent time with my wife's family. Her grandfather turned 80 years old this week, and so his 80th birthday party was held here in Memphis today, and all of my wife's family was in town for that big event. My wife is a triplet, one of three, another rarity to be a triplet, but her twin siblings were in town from Texas and Nashville, respectively. So between last week and today, it's just been a nonstop week of family, and I think that that continues now as I'm here with you, my friend. My brother, if you will, and our extended family, as I say again, on the airwaves, and it's good to be back.
And it's great to be back for me also. My wife died this year, and I've had more than one occasion to visit her grave. And let me tell you that I think a big part of the problem with the lack of white racial solidarity that we are always bemoaning on this show is that people don't have an appropriate respect for those who went before them. And I'm glad to see that you do. And I would recommend that everybody, you know, I was thinking out loud. I was reading a blog post on your article today. And what it brought to mind for me was, I wonder how many people know or could actually take you right now to the graves of their grandparents and great-grandparents. You know, these are the people that sacrificed to put you where you are today. And I think that all of us need to pay more attention to that. You know, back in the 19th century, people on Sunday afternoon used to visit the family plot at the local graveyard, and they would go out there with tools, and they would plant plants, they would dig up weeds, they would have a picnic lunch out there. And I, you know, that sounds like a quaint custom nowadays, but I really think that we need to get in touch with our roots, as the, you know, as the black people say. We need to know who our ancestors were, and quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing children named after the latest celebrity, you know, like Peyton Manning or, you know, even as good a person as Peyton Manning is. Show some respect to your ancestors. Give your children names that come from the family, like your great-grandmother's maiden name, for example. That's a way to foster a respect for your ancestors. And if you respect your ancestors and think of yourself as one in a line of people that are trying to continually, each generation, move one step further up the ladder, that will prevent you from basically embracing liberalism.
Very well said, Keith. Very well put. And I know you share an affinity for family and tradition and respect that cultural heritage just as much as I do. And to wrap this up, we're going to get down to business after this opening segment here. But I felt it incumbent and appropriate to bring this up at the top of the show. You know, I mentioned both sides of my family. My grandparents, at least, hailed from northern Mississippi. They both moved to Memphis to find work, and then that's where my parents were born. And, of course, I am a native Tennessean. But I've been to both places. You know, I've been to New York City on CNN's dime and stayed at one of the finest hotels in Times Square. I've been to Europe. I've been to very nice places. I've traveled the country. I like nice things. I like to stay in fine places. But at the same time, when I travel back, as I did last week, and I go to the dirt roads and see that red soil of Mississippi, you know, I certainly feel at home there. And it's just a peace that passes understanding, to quote as they might say about the Bible, but a peace that passes understanding to be down there, and you just feel very much at home.
Well, as they say in the old song, there's no place like home, and you need to, if you don't feel that, then you need to get back in touch with that. You need to find out where your homeland is. You know, there are so many people that have been moved around so much on jobs and other things nowadays that they really don't have any sense of their ancestry or their ancestral homeland. And we all need to get in touch with that, because that is one of the things that distinguishes us from the beasts of the field. We have a sense of place. We have a sense of respect for our ancestors. And if you respect your ancestors, you're not going to commit some of the more egregious faults that are associated with modern life.
God bless the South. God bless Tennessee. God bless Mississippi. We're going to be back after this opening break. We're going to start the show right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, as we promised after that opening intro, we have got to cram 2 weeks' worth of programming into the next roughly 3 hours, since we did air an all-star rebroadcast last week featuring our interviews conducted with Pat Buchanan, Congressman Walter Jones, and Ray Stevens. And now we are going to get down to business in a fury. An Arkansas state representative, a member of the Arkansas State House, is in hot water this week for basically telling the truth. He said that slavery was a blessing in disguise for black people. And certainly, I think any objective person would look at it and say, ultimately, yes, it did favor the descendants of those people who were brought here. That is in no way an endorsement of the practice. Certainly, it was an important practice. We would have all been better off had it never been instituted. And certainly, we don't celebrate it here on the cesspool. But it's politically incorrect to tell the truth these days. And doing so can cause cowardly members of your own party, in this case, the Republicans, to turn on you. But basically, long story short, as I mentioned, Arkansas Republicans are trying feverishly to distance themselves from a GOP state representative's assertion that slavery was, quote, a blessing in disguise for blacks. Now, that's pretty much all he said. Now, again, of course, anyone, frankly, who makes an objective assessment on this situation would draw the same conclusion that this representative did. Even honest black journalists agree with him on the matter. A columnist for the Jamaica Observer, which is a major newspaper in the nation of Jamaica, wrote that having to endure slavery was, in the long run, the best thing that ever happened to blacks. That's what he said. Now, we don't have to have black journalists agree with us, or we don't have to have them endorse that notion for it to be true. But the fact of the matter is that if they're honest, they will. And here's what he said. I'm going to read this part of this column and then turn it back over to Keith. And actually, I want people to grab this column from the Jamaica Observer and send it to all the Republicans in Arkansas who are apologizing on behalf of this Republican state rep. Will they apologize on behalf of this black columnist as well? Here's what he wrote. While we continue to demonstrate our inferiority in the areas of science and technology, through centuries of being exposed to Europe on account of slavery, we blacks are now aware of the need for us to start excelling in these areas. For those of us who continue to see the millions of blacks who died crossing the Atlantic and the displacement of what we had in Africa as proof that slavery was a bad institution, don't underestimate the mechanics of human development and evolution. Similar processes had to be endured by countless peoples throughout the history, including white people. The development of the human race has always involved the need for change. Slavery was one such means, and like it or not, we blacks are the beneficiaries. It is not for us today to judge the means through which societies have changed in the past. We blacks were changed for the better on account of slavery. We are a better race today because our ancestors went through slavery. The means of lives that were lost were not in vain. The Europeans proclaimed the need for us to be a civilized society through slavery, and through this, though it may be hard to understand, they were right. Indeed, based on what is happening in black Africa today, slavery for us in the West was, in many respects, our salvation. Keith, that the words of a black journalist for the Jamaica Observer. And I bring that to the audience's attention to compare and contrast that to that which the Republican, the white Republican state rep in Arkansas said, for which his party is now apologizing.
You know, I seem to recall that you got in trouble for making a similar comment one time. The SPLC pointed out your comments on the same topic, which followed basically the same line as the Arkansas state representative's comments, as an example, proof positive of how racist our show was. But in the Bible, it says the truth will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's simply the truth. That may be an inconvenient truth, to borrow Al Gore's phrase, but it is nonetheless true. Quite frankly, the best day in any American's ancestral history is probably the day when one of his ancestors boarded a conveyance to come to North America. And that doesn't mind, that doesn't, it doesn't matter what the conveyance was. It could be the Concorde, it could be a luxury ocean liner, it could be a leaky slave ship. Everyone is better off for having come to America. You know, let's just face it, most of our ancestors were not from what my grandmother used to call the top dresser drawer. And as a result, everybody had new opportunities over here. The black people that were brought over as slaves would not have come to North America under any other circumstances. There wasn't an NFL or an NBA back then. There was no occasion for them to come over here except as slaves. And because they are over here, they have the benefits of living in a first world nation. There are no first world nations in sub-Saharan Africa anymore, James.
Well, and there never was until colonization created a few for a short time. Even Pat Buchanan has written this, you know, by, and again, to repeat myself, this is certainly no endorsement of a horrible practice. I certainly would have never wanted my ancestors or my children or wife to suffer slavery, you know, but the fact of the matter is the slavery the blacks endured was far more humane than the slavery, for instance, the Irish endured at the hands of the English. But even Pat Buchanan has written that by coming over here, they were introduced to first world society and civilization and living standards and Christian salvation and everything else that comes with it. And now if you fast forward to 1965 and onward, look, my wife and I earlier this week were watching a National Geographic program on people, sub-Saharan Africans that live on the Zambezi River. And these people in the year 2012 still live in mud huts with thatched roofs. They still chuck spears. They wear basically nothing. If they dress at all, it's just a little sarong or something like that, a skirt the men wear. You know, they're painted, and it looks very much like it would have hundreds and even thousands of years ago. They have not advanced whatsoever. So is there truly a black in America today that would wish to trade places with them? And again, that's not to say that. And I'm saying this at the risk of sounding repetitive now. I think this is the third time I've said it. That's not to say that slavery was a good thing for anyone, but when you compare and contrast and you're honest, would they really trade places Certainly the answer is no.
And you said that you wouldn't want your ancestors or your wife or any of your loved ones to endure slavery, but the fact of the matter is, James, your ancestors probably did endure slavery. Slavery was endemic to the world. It had always been part of the world, the ancient world, the medieval world, even today. You know, there's a reason why our ancestors used to call prostitution white slavery. And quite frankly, the white slavers, the slave owners in America who practice white slavery tend to be black pimps or Hispanics. White people aren't imposing this on black people anymore. It's just the other way around. You've got black and Hispanic people imposing it on their own kind and on whites.
Well, and the final word on this, I mean, the truth is obvious, and we're basically just repeating ourselves at this point. But frankly, and this is another thing to take into consideration, there's not a single black in America today that endured slavery, or a parent or a grandparent. You know, or yeah, exactly, at least not at the hands of white people. There is still slavery that exists in the world today, and it exists exclusively in black Africa or in the Middle East. And so there's that to also point out, but none of them experienced it. None of the ones that complain about it and that want more handouts and more gimme, gimme, gimme because of slavery, as Pat also has said, we've heard the grievances, where's the gratitude? Most blacks in America today were born post-1965, which means they were born into a society that favors them based solely on their race. It gives them affirmative action. It gives them quotas and set-asides. We're going to talk more about that after the break, which we're coming up on very quickly, Keith, so a quick final word in the next second or two.
Well, talking about the privileged status of black people in today's America, I was just down at Ole Miss today and looked at the homecoming football program, and lo and behold, there was a black girl over 200 pounds who is now the homecoming queen at Ole Miss. Can you imagine a girl of that size who is white being the homecoming queen?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. Cardioprim.com.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes what you don't hear during the commercial breaks is, in fact, our best radio. That was a conversation. Keith ran right into the commercial break, making the point that now, at Ole Miss, of all places, the homecoming queen is a morbidly obese black student. And let's face it, I mean, we're talking about homecoming queen here. Morbidly obese of any race, frankly, isn't what you have in mind when you're thinking of homecoming. But, Keith, we were trying to milk every last second of that last segment. And we've got to go into something else that's closely related here. But if you could just kind of break down the conversation we were having, the three-way conversation we were having with Sam during that commercial break off the air.
Well, Sam was making the observation that everybody's ancestors had been slaves at one point. He quoted William Wilberforce. I was quoting Harriet Beecher Stowe, who is the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, which today's liberals point to as one of the primary factors leading to the Civil War. Of course, that's based on the assumption that the Civil War was fought over slavery, and of course, we take serious issue with that just based on the historical record. But Harriet Beecher Stowe said that there was no need to have a war to end slavery because the elites understood by that time that ultimately wage slavery was cheaper and more manageable than chattel slavery. With chattel slavery, you had to provide for unproductive children and unproductive old folks, and you didn't have to do that with wage slavery. So James and I were talking at lunch this week. We were at the Cracker Barrel restaurant. And we were talking about this presumption that black people are disadvantaged, poorly treated, and impoverished. And I made the observation, well, if they're impoverished, how come at least 50% of the people in this restaurant, this Cracker Barrel restaurant that we went to, which is, you know, firmly a middle-class institution, how come so many of them are black, at least 50%? And furthermore, we took a poll just going from table to table. Every black customer there, with the exception of one, qualified as being morbidly obese. There were two black people on the wait staff that weren't morbidly obese, too. But these people, you know, this is a restaurant where it costs from $10 to $20 for one person to have a meal. And this is at lunchtime on a weekday. And these people were chowing down. And I mean, these people looked like Jabba the Hutt, quite frankly. It was just absolutely incredible how much weight they put on. They didn't put on weight because they were being deprived of food, which is what you would expect from people who complain so loudly and incessantly about being poor.
Well, Keith's exactly right. We had our, every week Keith and I get together to chart the course for the Saturday night program. We went to Cracker Barrel this week, and it was a good, it was a diverse crowd. You know, pardon my language, pardon using the word diverse, but it was certainly a diverse crowd. And as he mentioned, of the maybe 30-40% of black people that were in the restaurant, this is Memphis, after all, a 67% black town, so you're going to see them. And all but one of the patrons at the restaurant were not just fat, mind you. We've all put on a few extra pounds. Anybody that's married and has a kid's put on a few extra pounds. I can be the first to raise my hand. But morbidly obese is the best way to describe it. And so here they are. They're all going to vote for, and that's another thing I asked Keith. I said, well, who do you think they're going to vote for? 100% of them are going to vote for Obama. They're going to complain about how they're discriminated against and how evil white people are for putting them in slavery, an institution that they never experienced, but putting their ancestors 200 years ago into slavery and this, that, and the other. They've got that chip on their shoulder, yet they are eating $20. they might have been eating more than $20 a plate looking at some of those plates, but they were dressed at least as well as Keith and I dress, or if not better. They're the beneficiary. They probably drive better cars than me and Keith. I've seen our cars, Keith, and, you know, it wouldn't take much. And so they probably do all that. They're certainly the beneficiaries, if they want to be, of anything they want off the government dole, which means the taxpayers' dole, which means most likely the white man's dole. And here's another one, an extreme example. Apparently, cell phones are now a civil right. A woman in Baltimore, Maryland, a black woman in Baltimore, Maryland, has 30 free cell phones that she's received from the government, again, on the taxpayer's dime. I pay a crazy amount just to have basic cell phone service for me and my wife. She has 30 free phones, and I've seen this video that we have at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Every one of her phones that she got for free looks better than mine. As Keith is my witness, I'm holding up my phone right now. It's a little old flip phone that went out of style maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago. It's the paint's chipped off. Anyway, it's just an ugly old phone, but that's what I have. Let's play this clip, and then we're going to offer further commentary.
You may have noticed vans across the city of Baltimore promoting free cell phones. It's a program that you are helping to pay for.
Tonight, we look at a federal program that has gotten completely out of control, not just here in Baltimore, but across the country. Here's tonight's cover story now, Free Phone Frenzy.
I have another one in my pocket, too.
Baltimore City resident Monique Crawford has plenty of cell phones.
I have about like six in my purse now.
And a few more at home.
Each and every one of these phones work. At home, I know I have about 30, and all of them are on.
But how did she manage to amass such a cellular jackpot?
How long did it take you to get all these phones?
5-10 minutes to get this one. Just now, and I walked out with this one just now.
Well, partly thanks to you. That's because anyone who pays a cell phone bill also subsidizes the phones filling up Monique's purse, courtesy of a charge buried in your monthly bill called a universal access fee.
And if you're wondering where this money comes from, take out your cell phone bill and look at that line that says Universal Service Fund.
Money that funds a program called Lifeline, originally intended to ensure everyone has access to a landline phone and 911 emergency service.
It's clearly not what the law was originally intended.
But has since evolved into something entirely different, say people who have used it. Private prepaid cell phone companies are now giving away phones to people in Baltimore and dozens of other cities who receive government aid, all paid for by you.
There was too many of them.
All right, let's just
problem than really.
Stop the clip right there. You heard enough to know what's going on here. So apparently, cell phones are now a civil right. The federal government is giving out these free cell phones to people on welfare at taxpayer expense. Recipients of the free phone, like the black lady you just heard in Baltimore, they commonly call them Obama phones. But here's a staggering statistic. 231,000 of these free cell phones, 30 of which went to this one lady, have been issued in Baltimore, Maryland alone. One city. 231,000 free phones at a cost of $24 million taxpayer dollars. We're paying for these phones. And that was a Fox News, that was the Fox News affiliate for Baltimore, Maryland. We're paying for these phones. And I have a problem with it. Now, they would tell you that if you have a problem with this, well, you must be a racist. But, you know, I guess if that's what the qualification is these days, then so be it. No one else is talking about it. Well, obviously that Fox News in Baltimore is, but this isn't something that's seen as an issue nationally, at least. But we have got to rein in all of this white guilt that's being manifested like this. It's utterly absurd.
And I'm looking at this article on our blog roll, and it says that this particular woman that was being interviewed has 30 of these so-called Obama phones. I don't know of any white person that has 30 cell phones. I don't think Kim Kardashian has 30 cell phones. I don't think Lindsay Lohan has 30 cell phones. But this woman has 30 cell phones at taxpayer expense and no expense to herself. And again, just link this up with the black 200 to 300 pound homecoming queen that was crowned today at halftime at the Ole Miss Auburn football game. Can you recall any white homecoming queen that you've encountered throughout your life? I don't care if you're 100 years old, being somebody that tips a scale at between 200 to 300 pounds. Where does all this pandering come from? Obviously, there's this bottomless reservoir of white guilt that is always being tapped into, and the more you give, the more inconsolable they get, and the more they want, James.
Keith, you're 100% right, my friend. You cannot curry favor to them by cowering to them and, well, just treating them as spoiled children. And, you know, look, that's what they are. Not all of them, obviously not all of them. But people like this that you just heard in that interview, that's a spoiled child. And the more you give them, the more they want. The more you give them, the more resentful they become. And again, I would ask this woman, who undoubtedly is going to vote for Obama, who will undoubtedly say that she's been the victim of white racism, would she trade places with members of that Zambezi River tribe that I saw on National Geographic that motor around in canoes and hunt with spears? You know, would she really? Would she give up air conditioning and her car and her 30 cell phones and everything else that she's gotten at the through the grace of white people? No, she wouldn't. We got to take a break.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, my book, Racism Schmacism, was really ahead of its time. Came out in 2010. It's being proven more accurate and correct every single day. Basically, the thesis of the book in a nutshell is that if you're white, you are a racist, no matter what you believe, no matter what you do, no matter who you support, et cetera, et cetera. The radical left is now beginning to get overzealous even by their absurd standards. There are elements, as you know, of the left-wing media that just live to attack the political cesspool, and they call me all sorts of silly names. I'm used to it, no big deal. Frankly, I rather enjoy it. I don't want to tell them that because I'm afraid they'd stop giving us free publicity, but it, you know, it's a mild annoyance, yes, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a small price to pay. Now, again, getting back to my book, the thesis of my book has never been proven to be more true than in recent weeks, during which I've picked up on three utterly preposterous claims. Just watching television, scanning the news, here's three things that have come up on my radar over the course of the last 7 to 10 days. Media Matters, which is a rabid leftist attack dog, claimed that Jewish neoconservative Charles Krauthammer, the Fox News contributor, Jewish neoconservative, they called him right wing, okay? Bernie Sanders, socialist senator from Vermont, was on CNN last week and claimed that the Republican Party was a party exclusively for extremists, that the Republican Party was an extremist party. Now, a public school teacher, a black public school teacher, I might add, for the record and for the fact of the matter, in Philadelphia, she told a student in her class that was wearing a Mitt Romney t-shirt that, to her, that was the same as wearing a KKK t-shirt. So let me just recap. The very liberal Charles Krauthammer is right-wing. The groveling and apologetic GOP is extremist, and the former governor of Blue State, Massachusetts, who has publicly denounced the Confederate flag, celebrated the fact that his father marched in civil rights demonstrations, pandered to black people at an NAACP meeting, and publicly went on the record saying that he wished he had been born a Mexican. That guy is the same as a supposed KKK member? I mean, folks, this is beyond hyperbole. But again, it does prove my point. To the establishment media, all white people are racist, no matter how much they hate themselves. The accusations of racism, it's a Marxist construct that's used to make you shut up, and it only has the power that you allow it to have. The more effective you are, the more you will be attacked. And thankfully here at TPC, we seem to be immune. We have the antibodies to this thing. But back to the story from Philadelphia, and then I'm going to toss it over to Keith for commentary. He's going to tear this thing apart. Philadelphia, and this is straight from our source, which is the NBC affiliate in Philadelphia. A Philadelphia high schooler was humiliated after her teacher told her to lose her Governor Mitt Romney t-shirt, comparing it to wearing a KKK shirt. The teacher told me to get out of the classroom, and I said no. She told me to take off my shirt and said that she has another one if I need one. The teacher asked me, are your parents Republican? And I said, I don't know. She said, well, wearing that shirt is like wearing a KKK shirt. The shirt was a Romney Ryan campaign shirt, Keith. That's what it was. So Romney Ryan is the equivalent of the KKK. And if that's the truth, folks, there isn't a single person in the world that is light-complected, that is not a racist, if the standard for being racist is Charles Krauthammer, the GOP, and Mitt Romney.
Well, who would possibly be acceptable in the Republican Party to this teacher? Mitt Romney was chosen specifically because he was the most liberal of the available presidential candidates vying for the Republican nomination. He is the former governor of the bluest of blue states, Massachusetts, and he was playing footsie throughout his entire term with the Democratic-controlled legislature of Massachusetts. In other words, you can't have any ideas that are vaguely conservative without becoming politically incorrect. And if you're politically incorrect in the least, then you are a racist. There's no need to deny it. There's no need to strive to avoid certain topics. It doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be tarred with the same brush as the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. And that's the point of James's book. Basically, stop trying to appease the unappeasable. These people, basically what they're telling you by taking the positions that they're doing is that that they're totalitarians. This is the same type of thing that's being encountered by people like our friend Paul Fromm in Canada now with hate speech codes. These are the people, liberals, that is, that pretended to be the benevolent libertarian people that just wanted to live and let live, and they, you know, people everywhere just got to be free. That's why we had the civil rights movement. They're not motivated whatsoever by benevolence and tolerance. They're motivated entirely by envy and resentment. They want to stuff a sock in the mouth of anyone who disagrees with them. They are essentially totalitarians. There's no difference between them and the people that were running Stalinist Russia. And if they had the power, they would enforce the same type of solutions to dissent that were enforced in Stalinist Russia or in Maoist China. In other words, they would be killing people for wearing a Romney t-shirt. Now, wake up and smell the coffee. You've got to let people know what the enemy is like. You've got to resist them. There is no making peace with people like this. It reminds me of the old Disney movie Peter Pan, and one of the featured songs of that show was Never Smile at a Crocodile. And it said, you can't get friendly with a crocodile, don't be taken in by his toothy grin. He is thinking of how well you'll fit beneath his chin. That's the left. The left is a crocodile. The left will destroy you and devour you, and they want to do that. They want you to disappear from the face of the earth. And, you know, we need to fight them with every fiber of our being. There is no peace. One side or another is going down. Either the conservative masses of America are going to be destroyed, or this liberal hierarchy is going to be destroyed. There's no middle ground, unfortunately. These people will not live and let live. The more you concede, the more they want. There's never, ever any peace with the left. They say no justice, no peace. Well, they keep moving the line on what is justice. I remember in the civil rights movement, at the very beginning, they just wanted equal rights. But there was a French philosopher named Vilfredo Pareto in the 19th century who said it probably as well as anyone. He said, when I am weak, I ask you for equality because that is your principle. When I am strong, I deny equality to you because that is my principle. That's the way they are. They are going to, they're not going to be satisfied until you and your kind pass from the face of the earth. Wake up and smell the coffee. There's no appeasing a crocodile, James.
Folks, if you stick around to the second hour, we're going to have Keith sing another Disney song, and we're looking forward to it, Keith. But no, you're exactly right, as always, as you always are. You've never been wrong about anything. One of the few people I can say that about. Keith Alexander, the great you are. But yeah, somebody asked me, you know, what's a racist? What would be the definition that I would give? Someone that has an irrational hatred for someone that doesn't look like them. I mean, I think that's the classic textbook definition, maybe, based on race. Certainly that's not applicable here. We talk about politically incorrect and taboo issues, but we do so in telling the truth, and we tell the truth in love. But now, I mean, you know, I've been slimed as a racist so many times since 2004 when I founded this radio program, when I created the Political Cesspool. I've been called a racist so many times by the press that I think it's my middle name. Somebody asked me, you know, introduced themselves to me, and they told me their name, and I said, I'm James Racist Edwards. No. It's Franklin. Franklin's my middle name. But seriously, if look, Charles Krauthammer, Mitt Romney, the GOP in general, they are called the same things that we're called. At least we have the cojones to talk about certain issues that they wouldn't dare touch. See, they get slimed with it, and they don't even have the courage of their convictions. They get slimed with it, and they don't even get to say, yeah, well, you can call me that, but at least I'm standing up for what I believe in. They're not even standing up for anything. And they're cowards, and they're still getting labeled as such. So at least we have the integrity to earn our stripes. They haven't even earned the right to be called a racist by modern-day definitions, and yet they still are. So it just goes to show, as you said, Keith, there's no appeasement. Appeasement never works. Here, you know, Mitt Romney, in the eyes of people like this, people who are going to be voting for Obama, is the same as us, is the same as the Grand Dragon, as you mentioned. It's all the same to them. Anyone who just isn't, frankly, non-white is a racist. I mean, that is basically as simple as it can be. And folks, the plot only thickens further as the political cesspool rolls on this evening. Hour number 2 and 3 coming up right after these words. Don't go anywhere. We are just getting started.
Hour number 2 of the political cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.